Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Nerdiest Podcast in the Midwest, a podcast where we will be discussing parts 5 and 6 of the MCU, the Midwestern Nerds Podcast. I am your host this evening, Brian Stoffel, joined as always by my co-host, KO Kyle Olson. We are the Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds Podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream our show wherever you find a podcast. This week, we will be continuing our San Diego Comic-Con 2022 breakdown, talking specifically about phases 5 and 6. Of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, all the announcements that were made. We're going to give you our thoughts and opinions, our theories and speculations, all of that fun stuff will be continuing now. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
February 17th, 2023, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. The cast was there. If you were able to attend San Diego Comic-Con, you got to see a rough cut of a trailer that we haven't seen. Things that I've heard that were in that trailer were a Ant-Man that is kind of full of himself and his fame as an Avenger. We find out that not only does he have a podcast through Ms. Marvel, but he's also written a book about him becoming an Avenger and an autobiography of his life. We find out that that fame has gone to his head. We've also found out that we get a full reveal of Kang for the first time. And there is a final bit of exchange between Ant-Man and Kang, where Ant-Man says, "I'm an Avenger." And Kang responds, "An Avenger, have I killed you yet?" And that is how that trailer ended. I've been excited for this movie since they announced it and since they announced that Kang was going to be the villain. The little bit of comic book knowledge that I had about Kang, I knew that he was one of the Avengers' biggest baddies. So seeing him show up in Ant-Man Quantumania, I was like, everybody's sleeping on this movie right now. This has been one of my most anticipated. Mm-hmm. And the things that were talked about coming out of Comic-Con just confirm my excitement and add even more to it.
Yeah, I am super pumped for this movie. I mean, obviously, we don't know that much about it yet, but like, I think the first Ant-Man movie is such a sleeper hit. It's so good. Every time I rewatch it, I just love it over and over again. Second one's pretty filler. Unfortunately, they kind of did Ghost dirty. They kind of skimmed over some things. It was kind of like replaying the same jokes. But I think this one, I mean, I think there's just the fact that they're just putting in Quantumania. We know we're going to explore the quantum realm. I cannot, with the fact that we already know Kang the Conqueror is going to be in there. Some of the other things that they announced for this too. I'm very much excited for this.
The other things that were said about this movie that are very similar to things that were said about the next movie we're going to talk about. This movie is steering farther away from comedy than they had in the first two movies. It sounds to me like this is going to be more of a serious movie with some jokes sprinkled in instead of just joke with plot and action in between, kind of like the second one was. The first one, like you said, is a decent movie. I really enjoy the first movie more than most people, which is probably why I was super excited for this third one coming up. Again, more Kang. I'm excited to see not only his first official appearance, if you discount He Who Remains from Loki. And I'm actually really interested to know when else he's going to show up within phase 5 and 6 that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, which I think is the smart thing to do if you're Marvel. Don't announce anything after Quantumania, because we'll get a second iteration of Jonathan Majors, which, by the way, cannot wait to see him play multiple roles like that. I think he's going to absolutely kill it after his appearance in Loki. Yeah, I think MODOK is going to be, I'm very interested to see how they do MODOK. There's a theory that it's the guy from the first movie with, now I can't remember, not the Wasp, but the Killer Bee. What the fuck?
Oh!
There was a theory. There's a theory.
Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, Yellow Jacket. There's a theory that he, like, in the quantum realm, slowly condensed into MODOK. Yeah, very interesting. I'm very interested to see how they do that in real life.
I totally forgot that he was going to be in this movie. That, yep. Yeah, they did confirm that.
They confirmed that, and they also confirmed Bill Murray in the movie, not anything to do with MODOK, but they confirmed Bill Murray. My theory is that Bill Murray is a former, also somehow, for some reason, in that random city that you can see in the background in the quantum realm. I think they're going to explore that city, and I think Bill Murray is going to be a former lover of Janet Van Dyne while she was in the quantum realm.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that. Bring in some of that drama, that, mm-hmm. that comedy in there too. They haven't announced who officially is playing MODOK. I would love it if they got Patton Oswalt back. He voiced and was one of the co-creators of that MODOK animated series that was on Hulu. Mm-hmm. He loves that character. This is one of the smartest, nerdiest guys that I know. Like, he knows anything and everything about pretty much all comics and movies and cinema and all that.
Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that scene in Parks and Rec where he's going on about
the filibuster?
Yes. So apparently that's completely improv.
Yeah.
By Patton Oswalt.
Yes, that is how he is. And so
I love it.
If you get that guy who has an incredibly large love for MODOK, why not bring him back? I would love it. I would absolutely love it. When they were doing that animated show, they did like a stop motion type thing with it, mm-hmm. kind of like they did with Robot Chicken. And there's pictures where they built the MODOK body and like had him in it. And like, so there's pictures online of him like in the MODOK suit where he doesn't have the giant head, of course, right. because he's a normal human, but mm-hmm. like, to see him in there, I'm like, yes, can we please make him MODOK? Like, that's
that'd be awesome.
I kind of doubt it, but I would be so giddy if they announced that he was indeed MODOK in Quantumania.
That'd be cool.
Any other thoughts before we jump ahead?
Nope, that's all I got for this one.
To fill in the gap between movies next year, in the spring of 2023, we have, speaking of Nick Fury, Secret Invasion. Colby Smulders came out. I guess she showed a little bit of footage of that, too. This is going to be more of an espionage thriller. Very similar feels to Captain America, the Winter Soldier. That's about all that was really said. I am more curious about this than I was in the past. The Secret Invasion event in the comics is epic. It is big, it's grand, it's a lot of fun, but it deals with the whole cast of Avengers, X-Men, Fantastic Four, and the fun thing about that is you don't know who's real and who's a Skrull. There's lots of betrayals throughout that whole book. They're definitely going to be scaling it down in this show because it is going to be Nick Fury, Maria Hill, a lot of like our street level government typey spy people. That being said, though, I could absolutely see them bringing in some smaller MCU characters that could possibly be Skrulls. I'm curious at this point. Before, I was not that excited just because, like I said, the scale of Secret Invasion in the books is, in my opinion, was never going to be an option for the MCU, especially making it a show revolving around the Skrulls and Nick Fury. But now I have gone from not excited to curious.
Yeah, super curious, only because like I feel like there's got to be some sort of major reveal, quote unquote, that someone that we've seen for this long period of time has been a Skrull. Because now we know Nick Fury and Colby Smulders, we know that they were Skrulls at one point, right? So like there has to be, and they can almost use this now as if there's a continuity error somewhere, they can say, oh, this person was a Skrull, actually, they were off Earth or whatever. But I think there has to be one major reveal towards the end of the show where, like, this person has been a Skrull this whole time. I'm very curious because I don't know nothing about this from the comics or anything like that, what they're going to do with it. Samuel Jackson, I'm excited for him. Emilia Clarke is in this. Very curious to see who she's going to play along with Christopher McDonald, too. Absolutely love Christopher McDonald. So I'm very excited to see who those two people play. Those feel like big names to bring into the MCU. So hopefully they play somewhat big parts that we get to see later, too. But yeah, I think curious. Curious is a really good word.
One final question before we move on is, or has Nick Fury this whole time been a Skrull? I only ask that because the one image that's been revealed so far of this series has been of Nick Fury, who looks incredibly old compared to any other time we've seen him in the MCU. He's got a big, giant white beard. He's got both of his eyes showing. He's not covering up one with an eye patch like he usually does. Has he been a Skrull this whole time? And this series is focused around the real Nick Fury trying to reveal the secret to the world?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know.
How interesting would that be if a Skrull was the one who assembled the Avengers and basically kickstarted all of the Infinity Saga to them be like, what's the game plan from there? You know?
Yeah.
It could ask a lot of interesting questions with that reveal.
I think it's going to either way.
And with that, that's about all that we have on that show. Let's jump to May 5th, 2023 with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The audience there was lucky enough to see another trailer that none of us have seen yet. I guess it's a lot of really rough cuts. The cast was very emotional throughout their entire time on stage, including when they got to watch this trailer for the first time. The things that I've heard about this trailer sound like it's going to be the darkest Guardians movie so far. We get to see a little bit of Rocket's origin story and lots of crying throughout that trailer, which means that this might be a heavy movie. I'm excited for it.
Oh God, yeah. Guardians is mine, you know, dude. The Guardians got me into Marvel, and it's still two of my favorite movies, not only in Marvel, but like of all time. They're like so easy for me. They're my pleasure movies where like if I have a really rough day, I will go watch Guardians 2. it's one of my favorite movies. So like this is going to wreck me because there's all these rumors and announcements that this is the last movie for this Guardians, like this set of Guardians, right? So like whether that means one or two of them die / leave, or if all of them change and some of them just go on from their separate ways and we get a whole new set of Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm very curious. We know, unless they're doing this to kind of swerve our reactions, we know that this is Dave Bautista's last Marvel project. He's been very vocal about that, which seems weird to me. It seems like something you would maybe want to keep close to the chest. So, and maybe that's just me knowing that he's a professional wrestler. So maybe he's always working and trying to, maybe he doesn't die at the end of this and he's still in that. Maybe he's been playing us the whole time, but
he's also in his 60s. I don't know if you knew that yet, but he's also like,
he wrestled a match like 2 years ago.
That was part of his announcement of this being the last movie, is the fact that he didn't want to be in this physically fit of shape in his 60s.
Oh, Jesus. That's
like, I think he's done enough.
No, absolutely. Like, good for him. If this is actually, it just feels weird. All the announcement behind it, especially for someone like Marvel, it almost feels way too predictable to kill him off. Like, you know what I mean? It almost feels like his character needs to go off and do something. I don't know. No, I'm just very curious. Like you said, I'm very excited to see the backstory behind Rocket Raccoon, because we're going to get the High Evolutionary played by, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, but the guy from Peacemaker, who I'm very excited. Because he was awesome in Peacemaker.
Warlock?
Yeah, Adam Warlock, finally, after what, like 5-6 years of them teasing him at that point, played by a again, Will Poulter, who is apparently in great shape. I think he's a great casting choice for Adam Warlock. I think there's going to be like Adam Warlock's going to try to destroy the Guardians, but then I think at the end of the movie, I think he's going to join the Guardians. Is kind of my guess, but yeah, super, super, super excited for this movie.
Who's not making it out? Who's biting the dust?
Man, I don't know. Okay, they're gonna find Gamora, right? That's gonna be like the beginning of the movie. They're gonna find, for some reason, not dusted after Endgame Gamora. Man, I don't think it's Star-Lord. I don't know. I think it probably is smart to just do Drax. If Batista's really done, you might as well just kill off the character and maybe Rocket and Drax, keep Groot, Gamora, and Star-Lord. Man, I just don't know. I'm not prepared for this at all. It's not going to be good.
I think Batista is done. A lot of that seems pretty genuine.
Oh, there's Nebula too. You could have something pretty serious with Nebula happen too.
I think Nebula's gonna have a big role in this movie, and I think she's got the most potential to grow and do more outside of Guardians 3, just because she's been around the MCU a lot, but if you think about it, she really hasn't had a terrible amount to do, and
she'd have played a pretty big part in Endgame.
Seeing that actor doing so much in Doctor Who and then seeing what she's done in the MCU, it's like, I feel like she would want to do more.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Nebula's going to, I think she's going to make it out. If you follow the memes about the logo and the color of the logo of
all Guardians
movies, being that whatever color of the logo is who dies. The first movie was brown, and Groot technically died in that first movie. The second movie, the logo was blue, and Yondu bit the dust. This movie, it's like a bronze, brownish color. A lot of people think that's going to be Rocket. I would agree with that, and I think that also confirms Drax for me too, because it's not just one color. It is like that gold and that brown, and those colors are very similar for Drax and Rocket, so I could see both of them biting the dust. I could also see either or Star-Lord or Gamora.
Ugh.
I think you got to cut this team in half, because I think you're bringing in Adam Warlock. I think he's going to be a Guardian from here on out. Nova, who was announced to have a show coming, mm-hmm. I think this could be a movie where we introduce Nova, and maybe he's in and out of the Guardians. Like, he's not a full-time Guardian, but he shows up when there's a movie. So I think he's a possibility. And I think there's just a whole slew of other cosmic characters that you could incorporate with Guardians teams. You could have the Guardians team up with the Eternals in the next movie, because there's a bunch of Eternals with Harry Styles out in space right now, looking for more Eternals.
And he's technically the brother of Thanos?
Correct.
Which would be make him Gamora's uncle.
Yeah. So,
and Nebula. So that, no, that, oh, I really like that. That could be a really fun post-credit scene.
Yeah. So I think we're going to lose half our Guardians. Those are my picks. So I think Drax isn't going to make it out. I think Rocket's going to be done, and I think it's either going to be Star-Lord or Gamora. I don't think it's both. I think it's an either-or for those.
I'm not ready.
Well, you've got quite a few months before that happens to mentally prepare. And then we thought that this summer was busy when it came to content. Marvel was like, you think that's bad. That was just the warm-up. Here we get into the main event. Summer of 2023 is so packed, mm-hmm. as far as just Marvel content goes. Starting with the Echo series coming in 2023, we know that it takes place back in her hometown. It's with her home people. There's going to be a lot of like Native American stuff in that show. And we know that for his second appearance in live action in the MCU, we get Daredevil and Kingpin in that show as well. Those are the two main reasons I'm excited for that show. I thought the Echo character was one of the weaker points in Hawkeye. in that series. The way that they wrapped up her character in that series, I was like, where do we go from here? But I guess they got a whole show's worth of story to tell. That's about all that we know about that. Do you have anything to add?
No, quite excited. I always love Vincent D'Onofrio. I think it's going to be, I think everyone kind of theorized after Hawkeye and No Way Home that this was kind of going to kind of be like a Daredevil, like he was going to be in this and it was going to like, he was almost going to be like a bigger part for it. I also like that what Marvel's been doing with a lot of these different shows going to different parts of the country. I mean, just two examples is Moon Knight going to Egypt and we get Kamala Khan going over to, holy crap, Pakistan. I exploring these different parts of the world instead of just being in fucking New York every movie, I think is super cool. So I'm very excited to see what they do. Yeah, with that too. That's yeah, really all I got for this, I guess.
Summer of 2023, we also have Loki season 2, which I feel like those shows, I feel like Echo and Loki are gonna be like intertwining, meaning like one show is gonna be halfway through or wrapping up when the other show starts, because there's only so many weeks in the summer. And when you're announcing two TV shows in the summer of 2023, as well as a movie, which we will get to right now.
Not only that, but early 2022, they have What If season 2.
Yeah.
Or 2023, I should say, sorry.
Which there's some questions once we get through this whole thing, and What If pops in there for me. This is based off of the timelines that were shown up on screen at San Diego Comic-Con for Phase 5 and Phase 6,
mm-hmm.
which there were some things that were left out of that timeline that I'm going to ask you about towards the end of this episode.
Cool.
What If falls into that category. So Loki, season 2, summer of 2023 as well. I'm excited to see where that story goes from here once Loki ends up getting back and he's in a different time variant.
Yeah.
Where Kang is now ruler. Nobody remembers who he is. I'm excited. The Loki season 1 ended up being one of my favorite things in Phase 4 so far. And I think it was one of the things that I was like the least excited for when it was announced. I was like, why do we need a show about Loki? Haven't we gotten more than enough Loki? And then I ended up loving Loki more in that show than I had throughout his entire MCU so far. So I'm pretty pumped for season 2.
Yeah, season 2 is going to be, I mean, we're getting more Jonathan Majors and we're getting more Owen Wilson. Yes, please. I'm super excited. Yeah, I think just especially with the way Loki ended and how much it's going to play or it is playing a part in Phase 4, Phase 5, and Phase 6. Like, there's so much that can be and should be explained in this show. And I the way that they did it in the first season, you don't need to have as much setup in this season. But I think that's my favorite part about season 2 is that you can just, boom, jump into the action right away. Yeah, I'm super excited for this.
I'm also excited to see where we pick up with Sylvie,
mm-hmm.
what she's been doing since the season finale. And the one prediction that I'll make about season 2, I think Kid Loki is going to make his return, and I think he's going to find his way into the regular MCU 616 timeline, because Kid Loki plays a pretty big role in one of the runs of Young Avengers.
Yep.
And even though Young Avengers wasn't announced, which we, again, will bring up towards the end of this episode, I still feel like they're building towards the Young Avengers, and I think you almost have to have Kid Loki in that lineup. So there's got to be a way to bring him into that. So
yeah.
I think he's going to show up again in season 2. I think he might have a medium-sized role, but I think ultimately he'll find his way into the 616 timeline.
Yeah, I love that, because that reminds me of something that I forgot to say about Echo, which is I think Kate Bishop is going to play a part in that at some point. Ooh. Which again would help remind us of some of the other Young Avengers.
That's a solid prediction. Yeah, I like it. July 28th, 2023, The Marvels movie with Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, Kamala Khan's Ms. Marvel, And we also get the Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau from WandaVision.
Photon, I believe.
It's going to be interesting to know to see what name they give her, because she's been Captain. She's been Captain Marvel. She's been Photon. She's been like two or three other names in Marvel Comics lore. I think Photon would be a good one to go with. It'll be interesting to see which title they give her. With it being called The Marvels and those three being the leads, part of me thinks that they're going to figure out some kind of way to have Marvel in her moniker. You almost have to, I feel.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. But I'm super excited for this. I loved Ms. Marvel. I love the cliffhanger that they left on it too. I saw a interview with Alana. I'm terrible.
I think you were right.
I think I was. I can't remember now. I can't even remember what I said. The girl who played Kamala Khan. I saw an interview with her from New Rocksters, actually, which was a super cool interview, because they didn't even talk about, like, you know, what was it like being on the movie? You know, it was actually like they were nerding out together, because she is a huge Marvel nerd. And she obviously couldn't spoil anything, but she wanted to. Like, she was bursting with what she wanted to say about this movie when they were asking her about it. Like, she apparently gets answered almost right away, like, what happened to Kamala Khan. I think it's very obviously, like, they switch spots, right? It could be, you could say that it's like the comic book Negabands, I believe they're called, where they just switch spots, and now Kamala Khan's in danger wherever Captain Marvel was, wherever she found the second bangle, I'm guessing, that transported them, those two together. And we get to see Captain Marvel try to get back to wherever she was too. And I'm very, maybe that's probably why the Skrulls took Monica Rambeau, because they're going to try to save them. Maybe that's how the timelines cross over. I don't know. I'm very excited for this, though, because I think I'm one of the few people who very much, I shouldn't say very much, I enjoyed Captain Marvel, and I like the character. She gets a lot of hate. That's fine. But Ms. Marvel, again, was, I'd be super into that show. I liked it a lot. So I'm very excited to see what they do with this.
Captain Marvel, I think, is the one of the three that I'm the least excited for in this movie. So that's why I'm glad that it's called The Marvels, because that doesn't mean it's going to be like, it's not Captain Marvel colon something something. Like, Carol Danvers isn't going to be the main focus. She's going to be sharing the spotlight with Monica Rambeau, with Kamala Khan. And I'm more excited for those two than Carol Danvers at this point. I'm hoping that The Marvels changes my opinion on Carol Danvers. And that's about all the thoughts that I have on that movie thus far.
Yep.
From July 2023 is the last Marvel thing that we have until November. Announced so far.
Yeah, so I have a strange prediction, which may play into what we're going to talk about later, but there's no way that there's nothing for the rest of that year. I think it seems like every 2 years that there's, at towards the end of the year, there's a Spider-Man movie. I believe that there's going to be Spider-Man 4 that winter.
Oh,
that could just be, obviously they can't announce that. That's got to be a Sony announcement, which is dumb, but
well,
they can announce it. I guess I think they have to do, I don't know. There's some weird things that they were never going to announce it at Comic-Con. It feels more like a Sony maybe is going to announce it first, and then they can talk about it at D24 if they announce it before that. But I think that personally, there's no way that there's going to be that big of a gap. I mean, look at what they crammed in the summer. They would have just spread that out more. I think for sure that there's going to be another Spider-Man movie.
Maybe they've got that buffer in there in case, you know, just in case, sure. Like, to have that buffer, let's say one of the shows or Captain Marvel or something gets bumped back for production or whatever. Like, they've got,
I mean, that movie's already shot,
that little bit post-production,
I guess.
All the things with the special effects companies being true. Like, so overworked right now, and not being able to keep up with the amount of work, and Marvel just being like, here you go, here's even more.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like, maybe they built in a buffer in case they got to push some stuff back a couple months. But I would agree. I think there's something in there that's not announced yet
that maybe they're saving for D23 or the investors call later this year. But the next thing that was announced was finally Blade coming November 3rd, 2023. Mahershala Ali back with Marvel doing us some Blade. I'm pretty pumped for this movie. I love the Wesley Snipes movies and I love Mahershala Ali. He was phenomenal as Cottonmouth in season one of Luke Cage. And I'm very excited to see what he does with the role of Blade. If you are keeping up with current comic books, Blade plays a pretty important part in the Avengers. He was at one point, I'm not sure if he still is, but he was the leader of the Avengers not too long ago. So you get the caliber of an actor of Mahershala Ali. I think he's going to play a pretty pivotal role in the MCU as Blade.
Yeah, I did not realize that that was the same actor. Yeah, he is phenomenal in that show. Oh my goodness, I cannot wait for that. I have not seen anything of Blade in previous iterations, so I honestly don't know much about it. I know we're probably going to see Dane Whitman from the Eternals as well, with the probably as the Black Knight with the Ebony Sword. Yeah, other than all I know is that he's a fucking vampire hunter, and I cannot wait for some weird fucking mythical creatures that we're going to get in this show, because I think it's probably going to play into Midnight Suns, where we're going to get more Moon Knight, and I'm all about more Moon Knight. So
absolutely. Next up, fall of 2023, we also have Ironheart.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about that in the Black Panther trailer.
Yes, I was just about to say, if you look closely in the Black Panther trailer, you will see a couple shots of Riri Williams of Ironheart in Wakanda Forever. So that's where she's going to make her start. And I'm actually pretty excited because I know little to nothing about Ironheart. I know that she builds her own Iron Man type suit, mm-hmm. and she's kind of like the protege follow-up of Tony Stark after he dies one of the many times that he does in the comic books before coming back to life. She kind of fills in that role, that mantle. I know. Robert Downey Jr. has very adamantly said, I'm not coming back as Tony Stark in the comics.
Yep.
He plays a role in her series as like a hologram AI, kind of similar to Jarvis. Just saying. Robert Downey Jr., I haven't seen you in very many movies since the MCU. And the ones that I have seen you in, you tried to talk to some animals and it didn't work out too well. I'm guessing that if Marvel backed that dump truck of money up to your mansion and was like, hey, man, don't have to fully be Iron Man, but can you bring Tony Stark back for a little bit?
We'll talk about Downey Jr. potentially returning later. No, I love that too, because I was going to say that too, the building the AI of Tony. Yeah, apparently she's just an MIT student, that builds her own suit and then just takes over with the AI Tony Stark, which is cool. But they could realistically do that too. The reason she's in Wakanda and in the new Black Panther is because they did the science and technology outreach program at the end of the first one. Literally, she got a grant from MIT, whatever. Boom, you're studying with Shuri in Wakanda. I think it's a very easy thing to do. And that's why, again, Shuri disappears or something happens to Shuri and she has to make her own suit. That's why she makes Ironheart in the... Yeah, I'm very excited for that movie. Pumped for this. I didn't know Anthony Ramos was in this. Super pumped. I love him. He's one of the guys from Hamilton, and then he did In the Heights with... wow, why can't I remember his name?
Your favorite guy in the whole world?
Yeah.
That you want to slap his knob?
What is wrong with me today? I can't remember. Well, Miranda.
Lin-Manuel.
Oh, my goodness. We've been talking too many titles and too many names today. Yeah, no, I'm excited.
He's
for
one
this.
Of your biggest man crushes. The one that you'd gladly go down on your knees for, and you can't even remember his name.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I think this. I'm just gonna gloss over that. Very excited for this. I think this could be very cool, especially if they play it close enough to the comics.
And to wrap up
2023, maybe 2024. Agatha, Coven of Chaos. I love that they changed the title to that. It feels more like Multiverse of Madness type flow to that title. Very curious to see if we're going to get the return of Miss Elizabeth Olsen in the MCU in this title. I feel like you almost have to.
Think about it, Brian. What kind of magic does the Scarlet Witch use?
Yeah, I know.
Chaos magic. Oh, yeah. Coven of Chaos. Huh, weird. Yeah, she's definitely coming back. Of course she's coming back.
It's interesting that it was slated as winter 2023/24. Makes me wonder if they're shooting for like a late December launch of that show, maybe early January. Again, no official date announced for that yet. Again, I feel like they might have that space between the Marvels and Blade as a buffer due to the world. Anything could happen, true. Special effects, whatnot. So maybe that's why they have 2023/2024 for Agatha Harkness. That's all of 2023. So 2023 has 8 projects that are currently announced for 2023 for Marvel. So that's a pretty stacked year that we got next year. All the things to look forward to, but that's not all. We got even more news about the following year, 2024, starting with the first thing. If it's not Agatha, Coven of Chaos, if that's not in early 2024, the first thing that was officially announced for spring of 2024, this little guy that I'm holding in my hand here that our listeners can't hear, can't see because they're listening.
He can't see either.
That's right. One of my all-time faves back for his return series. And this is big. Kevin Feige stumbled over his words, but corrected himself and drove the point after he corrected himself of that. This isn't just 18 episodes of the series. He corrected himself and said 18 episodes in season 1 of Daredevil Born Again.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Give me all the Daredevil. Give me all the Matt Murdock. Give me all the Charlie Cox. I can't wait. Yep. Yep. Just, yep. Give me Punisher in this. Everything. Give me so much. I don't even have that much more to say other than give it to me right now.
This was, honestly, you knew that more Avengers movies were coming. We all were pretty positive that Secret Wars was going to be one of them. This, to me, was the biggest news to come out of San Diego Comic-Con for Marvel. This was the news that I was the most excited for. Daredevil is one of my all-time faves. What they did with him in the Netflix series was absolutely phenomenal. I think we are getting a little more adult with our content, especially if you looking at the lineup that we've had so far and some of the things that we've even seen already in season 4. So while I don't think it's going to be to the same degree as the Netflix series, I think we are going to get some pretty intense stuff in Daredevil as far as action, drama, all that goes. Born Again is an interesting title. One could think, oh, it's a play on words because he had a Netflix series and now they're bringing him back in another series in the MCU. That's why they called it Born Again. Born Again is a very pivotal storyline in the comics for Daredevil. Basically, spoilers. This, skip ahead 15 seconds if you don't want to be spoiled on a potential big reveal for this Daredevil series and the comics run. But Born Again is a story where Kingpin finds out the identity of Daredevil and finds out that it is Matt Murdock and basically rips his life apart. A lot of these themes were kind of touched on in season 3 of Daredevil. So
it's possible that that's not the story route that we take for this series, especially since Kevin Feige specifically said season one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you'd call it Daredevil Born Again if that was going to be the main focus of the entire show. So it's possible that they do start that way. I don't think so, because we are still reintroducing Daredevil into the MCU. So that big of a storyline, I feel like you've got to build up to again. And I think it might be a little too soon to start with that storyline, but it is an interesting title.
I think it is just a play on using that title that they have used for a comic in the past and, you know, using it as this because they're redoing it from Netflix. I think that is a potential story that they could use in season two or three or four if they do whatever they decide to do, something that could build up to, which would be very interesting after we just saw it with Spider-Man. My biggest question for this series is how they cast the people around Matt Murdock. Like, do we get a Foggy Nelson? Is it the same Foggy Nelson? Do we get a Karen Page? Is it the same? You know what I mean? Like, are we getting Nelson and Murdock? Or are we getting Walters and Murdock? Like, are we going to get more She-Hulk in this? I almost don't want She-Hulk in this series because I want it to be what the original series was too. So like very dark and serious and almost lifelike, because this dude doesn't really have superpowers. He has enhanced power. You know, he kind of is a mutant if you think about it. I'm again very intrigued to see the casting, I guess, but I'm just super excited for this.
So excited. Then we've got on May 3rd, 2024. Oh, let me just say this too. 18 episodes. If they released, and I know they're probably going to do like two or three episodes right away that first week, but let's say they only released one episode a week. 18 weeks. That's like
true.
That's 4.5 months worth of Daredevil that we are blessed with.
Can't wait.
Let me just put that into perspective. 4.5 months of our boy with them devil horns. I cannot. Oh, I hope he gets back to red by the time. We're through that series, because I like seeing the yellow. And again, She-Hulk is a little bit lighter tone. True. So we can play with the yellow, but I want my traditional. I want the red suit. A lot of people have been teasing like the black suit that he wore during Shadowland, during that story run. I would be okay with that, but you can't get the red away from there.
Yeah, give me the red suit.
I want that red suit back. I hope we get the DD logo on it too. Like, yeah. I missed that a little bit in the Netflix run. But moving forward, May 3rd, 2024, Captain America, New World Order.
Who cannot wait for Anthony Mackie's Captain America big screen debut? I think that's the big story here. I don't even know. With New World Order, there's a couple ways that they could go with it. But at the end of the day, I think it's probably going to be a good setup / lead into Thunderbolts, which is the next title we're going to talk about. But overall, just mainly excited to see how they continue the new Captain America.
I am most curious to see who the villain is. Yeah. And the storyline, because so far all that we know is Captain America, New World Order.
And do we get more Bucky?
Captain America's first movie. Yeah. One thing that we do know we're going to get more Bucky in, or at least it's been announced, but I don't know if it's been officially announced if he's going to be a part of it. The Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Movie coming out on July 28th, 2024, end of July. We had a full episode discussing the Thunderbolts. I don't think there's too much more we can say about it. Nope. If you want to know our thoughts, go back into the timeline and listen to that episode. So Thunderbolts is July 28th, 2024. Wrapping up the year of 2024 is the Fantastic Four, finally coming out November 8th, 2024. Again, I'm just excited to learn more about this movie, yeah. Who the cast is, if there's got to be Doctor Doom especially with
yes
the announcement of Secret Wars. He's a pivotal character in both Secret Wars stories mm-hmm. in the comics, so I don't know how you could do a Secret Wars without Dr. Doom. Gotta get him in that movie. I'm excited to see who's casted as him and what the story's gonna be. How we're gonna bring Fantastic Four into the MCU.
That's my biggest question is, will my prediction come true of, which I think they'll announce at D23. Well, I think we'll know pretty soon here, but I still believe John Krasinski is going to act and direct in this. We'll see what happens. I'm very excited. I saw Joe Keery as a fan cast for Human Torch, which I think would be perfect. No, but my biggest question about the actual movie is like, how do you, because they already said this is not an origin story. This is basically like Spider-Man. We're going to jump into the world of Fantastic Four. How do you explain the Fantastic Four being in this 616 universe, assuming that I think we're going to be in 616 for all of these movies. How do you explain them being in this universe already and not intervening or helping in any of these big events? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be very, very interesting how they're already coexisting into this world.
There's a few theories that I could get behind. There's the theory that they're in the quantum realm, that they existed back in the 60s and
I don't somehow like
got lost. I think the 60s thing could work because we do know that there was an Ant-Man back in the 60s.
Yeah.
With Hank Pym. We do know that there were some kind of heroes back then.
I guess.
That got lost in time or
another,
retired.
But another lost in time, you know, I don't know.
There's also a theory that I heard last week that I was like, ooh, that could be really interesting, of the Fantastic Four go up into space at the same time that Thanos does the snap. And so that when they come back, Rocket talks about how the snap causes those big waves of energy, radiation, whatever he said in Endgame. That's what gives them their powers.
Oh, I love that.
That was the theory that I heard this past week that I was like, ooh, I could definitely get behind that. So there's definitely quite a few theories. I'm going to be very curious to see where they go with that. Last but not least, they ended their San Diego Comic-Con panel with two Avengers movies, not one, two, allegedly coming out in the same year. So, on May 2nd, 2025, Avengers Kang Dynasty is scheduled to come out. And on November 7th, 2025, Avengers Secret Wars is slated to come out. Avengers Kang Dynasty, the only news that has come out since Comic-Con is that they have officially announced a director. This is the same guy who directed the Shang-Chi movie. He's coming back to do the Kang Dynasty. That's about all that we know other than just titles and release dates. Kyle, do you think that we are going to get two Avengers movies in the same year, or do you think one is going to be pushed back into 2026?
Even if it is, I mean, if you think about it, Endgame and Infinity War were only a year apart. So, like, I think it's very doable. Like you said, it seems like they have, even with the addition of a potential Spider-Man movie in there, I think there's still wiggle room where if they fall behind on something, they can almost keep the plan intact for these two movies to come out in that same year, maybe it's pivotal. Maybe it's, although it's like, it's weird because Infinity War happens. Yes. It's 5 years Endgame. It's 5 years afterwards, but it's still like immediately after Infinity War. So you don't have to do it so close together unless it really is just boom. I think there's one movie potentially announced in the middle of it, but I almost feel like that's not going to play any part of it, almost like Ant-Man and the Wasp was too. So I don't know. This one's, it's strange that they would do that, but at the same time, there has to be a reason. I don't think anything that Kevin Feige does is without a reason.
There's a handful of unannounced titles in between those two Avengers movies. There was like eight different time slots, something like that. I've got a prediction.
I don't know how accurate it is, but I could see it being a possibility. My prediction is Kang Dynasty ends with our main group of heroes in that movie and in the MCU, and whatever main villains are around in the MCU at that point, the movie ends with them getting plucked out. And I feel like the projects that happen in between are going to be the Young Avengers and like our smaller group of characters having to deal with the aftermath of a world without our main heroes. Because one of the big things about the first Secret Wars comic event is when the main heroes and the main villains get thrown into battle world, they get plucked out of the main world. So that once that event is done and they come back, that's been like 4 or 5 months, like a significant amount of time has passed. And everybody's like, where have our heroes gone? There's interesting groups of villains that kind of fill in the void of the villains that get taken off the map, that get pulled into battle world. I think that would be an interesting place to have the Young Avengers form. You know, maybe they're not involved in the main events of Kang Dynasty, but now that our heroes are gone, who's going to pick up the mantle when there's trouble?
I like that, and you're probably right. At least you're probably close, because it probably, you know, Young Avengers, Fantastic Four, probably mutants. Like, there's probably going to be this newer cast who has to save the old cast, which is kind of a flip of what they did in Endgame, where it's the newer guys saving the older guys, the older guys saving the newer guys. I think you have to be careful about these two big Avengers movies, right? And plucking half of them away until the second half or the second Avengers movie where you save that second half. You have to be careful and not do this. There's going to be so much criticism of, oh, they're just trying to do Infinity War and Endgame again. You know, they're already out of ideas. Like, I think you have to be very careful on how you do it, because even if you do it a general story along those lines, there's going to be a lot of criticism over that, no matter how good it is.
My other prediction is the incursion happens at the end of Kang Dynasty, and all of the events that happen, or all of the projects that are in between Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars, are the battle world situations. Sure. So in the second Secret Wars, like the main one that most people refer to, Jonathan Hickman's run, Doom basically recreates the planet, and each nation is a different thing. We kind of touched on it a little bit during the God Butcher Saga talk, with there's the Thor force there. It's like a police force of Thors that basically police the entire battle world, and each continent is like a different universe, a different thing. So you could definitely focus on those and them picking up the pieces, adding more to the mystery of what's going on leading up to the final events in the last Avengers movie, Secret Wars.
My prediction for all this is that, like you said, Kang Dynasty ends, and then, but like right at the end of the movie, all of a sudden it's like the incursion is happening, and it's revealed that Dr. Doom has been behind this the entire time. It's like Dr. Doom has been plucking strings, doing everything behind the scenes without anyone noticing that he is creating these incursions, right? And making that, especially for this main 616. And I think the best way to do, again, instead of taking heroes away, Secret Wars should just be all of the fucking heroes that we have fighting Dr. Doom and whatever army he has put together, or whatever, you know, the Thunderbolts, the Avengers, the Young Avengers, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men. All of these people have to band together to face this big bad, which, again, you can obviously, you're going to set up Dr. Doom. It's not going to, like, he makes his on-screen debut and then you defeat him in the next. You're like, obviously Dr. Doom's a bigger character than that. I think he's even going to bleed into phase seven if I had to guess. But that's my big thing. Like, you almost have to go against what you did in Infinity War. And instead of taking everyone away, I think Kevin Feige said something about this in an interview where he was like, it's going to be all of the characters in the sandbox. Like, it's going to be all of the properties together. And he looked so excited when he said it. Like, it's going to be a clusterfuck of a movie. Like, there's no way like, each character is going to get maybe 2 minutes of screen time, but it's going to be fucking awesome.
And bring on all of the variants. Everything everyone wanted in Multiverse of Madness, give us in Secret Wars. Like, so, not only giving us Robert Downey Jr., not only giving us Chris Evans, but giving us not only Winter Soldier, but Bucky Cap.
Bring Natasha back.
Bring Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, bring both them Spider-Mans back. Bring freaking Nick Cage Ghost Rider. I don't care. Bring him.
Oh my God. you have to have a bunch of the old X-Men too. Like, you have to have Wolverine, Hugh Jackman for sure. You have to have Evan Peters, Quicksilver. You have to have, like, all of these. Yeah. Just every project that you've ever done. You could have Black Bolt from the ABC Inhumans. Have them back. All the Inhumans back in there. Just literally every character ever. You can bring back the original Ryan Reynolds Deadpool if you want.
That's how you bring back Killmonger. He's one of the villains that they have to face.
And we'll get John Krasinski. There's no way that this is the last we've seen John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic. Even if he's not the 616 Mr. Fantastic, he'll be in Secret Wars. Yes. I cannot wait for that movie.
And that was everything that was announced for Phases 5, 6, the end of Phase 4. So far, there was quite a bit that was missing. And I'm curious to know your thoughts on where you think they're going to show up. I'm going to list off a name of things. Werewolf by Night didn't show up on that timeline. It was reported that it was supposed to come out this October. The Christmas special, again, reported to come out later this year. Also not on the timeline. Armor Wars wasn't mentioned at all. Wasn't anywhere. Deadpool 3 wasn't mentioned. Nova, it was announced that the director and showrunner of Moon Knight was going to be doing Nova. That wasn't announced at all. Wonder Man, again, the Shang-Chi director, was announced to be helming that TV series. Nothing said about that. Shang-Chi 2, I thought that was announced at some point.
I think it is. That one specifically, I think, is going to be Phase 7, only because, like you mentioned earlier, the director of the first Shang-Chi, who I believe is also going to do 2, is doing one of the big Avenger movies. So, like, there's no way you have to put all your focus into that. So you might as well just push Shang-Chi into 2. So then where does Doctor Strange?
Where does Shang-Chi show up then? Because he's got to show up sometime before Kang Dynasty.
Oh, what was the... let me look through the list here. I did have something for this. Because
that's a pretty big gap without seeing him.
Coven of Chaos would be kind of cool. Oh, Marvel's actually... I think that there's a connection between the Bengals and the Ten Rings. Because we got the Ten Rings logo at one point. I think there's a connection there. So even if it's a mid or post-credit scene, or maybe towards the end of the movie, I don't know. But I think that's a good spot for him.
I'm gonna throw out there too, Daredevil. Why not? They both have like martial arts skills. They're both street level type heroes. Maybe Daredevil trained with the Ten Rings back in the day.
You know, that's not a terrible. I mean, who's the hand? The Hand. That's right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You could easily tell that story. Yeah, I like that.
Young Avengers wasn't announced, even though everybody feels like that's going to be coming at some point. And then
that feels like some Phase 7 potentially.
Very interesting too. Things that were omitted from the timelines of the end of Phase 4, 5, and 6. All of the animated stuff that we were told before was supposed to be tied into and in the MCU, in the universe. What If Season 2, Spider-Man Freshman Year. There was a whole separate Marvel animation panel at San Diego Comic-Con, was not included in the MCU stuff, doesn't show up anywhere on the timeline. Is that part of the MCU? Is it not?
I think it is. I think it's all semantics. I think a lot of these characters are going to show up in Secret Wars, played as live action people, I would assume. Like we'll get Peggy Carter again, even though she died. I just think that there was probably some weird technicality that they had to have an animated something at the same time, you know, at the panels. I don't know. If it does feel weird that they weren't included, but at the same time, I'm not worried about it. Because at the end of the day, whether they are or aren't part of the quote-unquote MCU, you know, they're not cinematic. So technically they're not, you know, it's a whole thing. I'm not too worried about it, though.
And that's going to do it for our San Diego Comic-Con talk, mostly focusing on the Marvel stuff. Any final thoughts on anything we talked about today, Kyle?
I think most of the unannounced movies are X-Men. Mutants. I think they're all establishing new/old, whatever, new actors, obviously rebranded mutants. I think we're gonna get, like, I don't know, fucking Cyclops or Storm or Wolverine or dude, that maybe a Professor X movie. I don't know. I think that's what most of those movies are, to bring back a lot of those, so that it's even more of a big deal in Secret War when we bring back some of the old X-Men as well. That's my last thought on that.
I'm not totally sure what's all going to be announced at D23 in the investors call later this year. I do think a lot of these things that I have on the missing list are going to show up on that timeline in one or more of those spots. Overall, though, I'm just excited. Before Comic-Con, I was buying into a lot of the negativity that has been floating around about Phase 4. It has not everything has been my favorite in that too. And I've kind of been on the boat as well of, are we hitting a lull here? Why aren't things clicking? Seeing this lineup though of the next 2-3 years, I am more than excited for everything to come. The big things that I'm super excited for, I'm excited for even just the smaller things that either I don't know a lot about, or that maybe I'm just not fully invested in yet. Maybe some things that I'm taking for granted that I'm like, this isn't going to be as good as it probably will turn out to be. Overall, nothing but excitement going forward in the MCU for the next 3 years to come. That's going to wrap it up for our episode this week. We are going to be skipping the best staff recommendations again for the third week in a row, because next week we are going to be doing a full-on best staff recommendations episode. We are going to be giving you guys everything that we've been feeling worthy of putting up to the best staff recommendations over the past month. We're going to be talking about them. We're going to be talking about everything. We're going to be talking about movies, TV shows, comics, music, any and all nerdy things, video games, you name it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to give you our recommendations for the month of July/August, basically next week's episode. I'm pretty pumped and excited for it. There's been a lot of good stuff coming out that I've wanted to talk about, but just haven't had the opportunity to talk about yet. For this week, we have been your Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to midwesternnerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream our show wherever you can find a podcast. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe. All of these things help this channel to continue to improve and grow and be the Midwestern Nerds podcast that you, the listener, want to listen to. For your Midwestern Nerds this week, I have been Brian Stoffel.
And I've been K.O. Kyle Olson.
And whether it's beer, brats, comics, or the multiverse saga,
keep it nerdy.